بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الحمد لله نستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليه الصلاة والسلام. قال تعالى في القرآن المجيد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، كل نفس ذائقة الموت. قال رسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليه الصلاة والسلام: عليكم بسنتي وسنة الخلفاء الراشدين المهديين، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام: صدق الله وصدق الرسول، ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. Respected ulama ikram, my brothers in Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with iman, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with Islam. Allah azza wa jal has given us a very easy, natural, perfect deen to follow. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us a deen, the deen is sanctioned. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us, we are ummati of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us a very simple path to follow as elucidated by the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jamaat. As long as we stick to that, salvation and success can be our lot. Men, every man has two parts, the soul and the body. In this discussion, I would like to mention a few aspects about the soul so that we can educate ourselves, a few fundamental points about the soul. Everything did not exist, only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala existed. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He created from nothing, He created the souls. The difference between Allah's creating methods and ours is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not require matter or molecules or substance to bring into existence from non-existence. Allah creates and brings into existence from non-existence without the need of matter or molecules. Allah creates, but man requires molecules and matter. In order to combine matter plus matter would give us another matter. But Allah does not require that. Allah just creates. That is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will destroy everything again. And Allah will create again. Allah is powerful. Allah is almighty. And Allah does not require us. We require Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah created the souls. The souls were left in the alam-e arwah. I'll describe the movement for you first, and then if there is time permitting, I'll start discussing the different alams for you. In the alam-e arwah, the realm of the souls, that is one realm. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala left the souls there. From there, into the womb of the mother, when she is expecting, when she is pregnant, 4 months later, the ruh is inserted there. And from there, that's the interim stage, into the alam of dunya. So the soul comes away with us, with the baby, with the human, into the alam of dunya. And from the alam of dunya, we proceed. Once the soul is created, it does not go into non-existence. Yes, there will be one stage where in Surah Rahman, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He discusses and He states He'll destroy everything. That's a different thing. He'll destroy everything and reconstruct it. But as a rule, when the soul is created, it does not get destroyed. So from Alam-e-Arwa to the womb, from the womb to the Alam-e-Dunya. And from the Alam-e-Dunya, when the person passes away, now we use the word sometimes that intiqal. Now intiqal is an Arabic word actually, meaning from movement from one place to another, meaning that transfer. So the movement of the soul actually we are referring to, from this dunya to the Alam-e-Barzakh, the Alam-e-Qabr, or the realm of the grave, where it is linked to some other two places. Then from the Alam-e-Barzakh, it will be the day of resurrection. And from the day of resurrection, the soul will now move either, initially it will either move to Jannat or Jahannam or Araf. Araf is a buffer zone between Jannat and Jahannam. Now let's go back again. That in Alam-e-Arwa, the souls were together. These souls were together. And when the souls were now getting distributed to the womb of the mother, there was distribution now. The souls coming individually to the mother's womb. And then the Alam-e-Dunya, there the souls again are individual in nature. Everybody, souls are now moving around with their bodies. In Alam-e-Barzakh also, in the realm of the grave, the soul and the body, they are lying there alone. But come again, the Maidan-e-Hashr, everybody is again together, like the Alam-e-Arwa. Everybody is together for judgment there. And everybody will be there together for judgment, and where the sun will be lowered, and the floor will be of copper, and it will be quite hot, pretty hot. And a person will be standing in his own sin, and the sin will be converted into sweat, and sweat so much like water. And person near you, or you yourself, or me myself, will have sometimes the water rising to the ankle, another person nearby maybe to the waist, another person over his head or to his eyes, or drowning, but everything happening simultaneously. Then accountability, and then again distribution of soul, either to Jannat, Jahannam or Araf. In Alam, let's go back again. In Alam-e-Arwa, in the realm of the souls, various things happened. First of all, the creation. When the creation was done, in the light of the Ahadith, it was like the size of the souls, like the size of ants. And how they are lined up, according to the hadiths in Bukhari, that they are lined up how army forces are lined up. Like how, alhamdulillah, you are lined up, like in rows in Salat, like that. And when it is time for them to go from there to the womb, then they are taken from first come, first serve, they are taken like that. So they are lined up, and they are lined up year by year, that means. Age, which one must come first, they are going to go like that. There the various ahd were taken. Alastu bi rabbikum, qalu bala. Comes in the Quran Kareem, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addressed the souls, the Alam-e-Arwa. Am I not your Rabb? Am I not your Rabb? Qalu bala. The souls reply, most certainly. According to one translation, they translated this word bala, yes. According to one translation, they say, no, definitely. According to one, they say, no, yes, okay, we accept. We acknowledge that. Then there was another ahd there. The ahd of the pledge of the souls to the Anbiya alayhi salam. The Anbiya alayhi salam pledged that Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is Khatam al-Nabiyin. That pledge was taken there. Then there was a third pledge. Allah instructed Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam after he constructed the Kaaba, he and his son Ismail alayhi salam, that Azir al-Nas, that call the people for Hajj. And then Ibrahim alayhi salam said, how am I to call the people? Who will listen? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, your responsibility is to call. Our responsibility is to make them hear. So some said that he went to Maqam Ibrahim because it was going up, down, and he was elevated, he called from there. Some say, no, he climbed the Kaaba. Some say that he went to Mount Safa. Some say he went to Jabal al-Qubais. Jabal al-Qubais is that mountain where the king's palace is there. That's Jabal al-Qubais. Or where the walking tunnels are. That's Jabal al-Qubais. Hadith of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, towards the latter part, Jabal al-Qubais will have many holes. Will have many holes. And we see it now. The Jabal al-Qubais, very little of it is left. The ring roads go through that also, the walking tunnels go through that also, and the underground tunnels to the king's palaces go through that also. So Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam gave the call. And the arwa, that is in the realm, they began to say labbaik to it. Ulama ikram write that the amount of times you said labbaik for Hajj during the call of Ibrahim alayhi salam, that is the number of times you'll go for Hajj. That is why you find sometimes perfect rotter, perfect sinner, he goes time and time again for Hajj. Allah Ta'ala keeps calling him, come here, we want to see you. Person who goes for Hajj all the time doesn't mean that he's a pious person. Sometimes you see people go for Hajj and he comes back, there is one narration, if you take the donkey of Isa and laden it with books and make it go around the Kaaba, the donkey of Isa remains the donkey of Isa. Lot of time Muslim goes and he comes back, he still remains the same. And he thinks, no, I've made 20 Hajjs. If the Supreme Court calls you all the time, it's not a very good thing. Or when you die, then the Supreme Court will tell you, we called you 20 times, what you did about your life. So those who go repeatedly for Hajj should worry about this fact. So this what happened there in the Alim al-Arwa. Sometimes what happens, that you meet a person, and you have met this person for the first time in your life, and you tell this person, I met you somewhere. And this person says, no, listen, you did not meet me. And you are pretty certain, and you feel in your heart and your blood and your bones and your mind, that I met this person somewhere. And you ask the person, definitely, can't you recall something? I met you somewhere. They know, I never meet you. What has happened that in the Alim Arwa, you may have clashed him, you may have just passed him, or you may have just come near him. And that split second moment of recognition, that has now come and materialized here. And now you are recognizing him. From the Alim Arwa, the soul is taken. And this soul now is put in the womb of the mother. And when the womb of the mother receives the soul, then there is life in that baby. Then there is movement in that baby. And then that is why we say after that, the rules of abortion become very strict after that. Now there, when that soul is in the womb of the mother, now it is in between where it came from and where it is going to. It is in between where it came from, the Alam Arwa, and where it is going to, the Alam Dunya. Then Alhamdulillah, I want you to remember that because I'm going to refer to it again. It goes away, it comes into the Alam of the Dunya. Now, life in Islam means that a person has got ruh in him. Now we get what we call biologically dead, clinically dead, brain dead, and various definitions. Now in Islam, dead is when the soul of the body is out. When the soul of the body is out, then we say this person has passed away, this person has died. And obviously when a person is about to die, when a person is about to leave the world, then you have asar, then you have signs of death on the person. And this, we should make dua, Allah Ta'ala make it very easy for us, because the pangs of death are severe. Hazrat Musa alayhi salam, it is written that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed him to interview an inmate of a grave. The inmate of the grave was given life, and Musa alayhi salam interviewed that person. And the person came out, and his beard was white. Hazrat Musa alayhi salam asked him that, "What do you think about the pangs of death?" So he said that from the time I died, thousands of years ago, till now, I still can feel the pangs of death. And Musa alayhi salam asked him, "Why this white beard?" He said, "No, because prior to Musa alayhi salam, there was no such thing as white beard." So he asked him, "How come you got a white beard?" He said, "When the call to rise up was given, the fear of accountability turned my black beard into white beard." So, respected elders, that is the time we have to worry about the pangs of death, the sakratul maut. Well, how that happens when the temples go inside, when the forehead broadens, when the eyes begin to turn and move around, when the nostrils open, when froth comes out of the mouth a little bit, and when the person begins to stiffen and the soul is beginning to move. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam described it. He said, when a good person's ruh is taken out, it is like how you take out hair from flour. Now when there is flour and you take out the hair, how easily that hair comes out? That's how the ruh comes out. That's how the soul comes out. But when a disobedient person, his soul is taken out, then Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave a vivid description. He said, it is like you take a hook and you put it on raw meat and you rip that meat and you pull that meat. How you pull that meat and rip that meat off, that's how the soul is pulled off the body, ripped off the body, taken off the body. Then, respected elders, iman and amal, that comes into action. Not bank balance and pomp and poverty, pomp and glory, that doesn't, respected elders. Now the person, he goes away. When he goes to the grave, then the questioning and answering starts. Now, respected elders, when the person is in the grave, then the soul, it is attached to the body of the grave. But it is attached like how telephonic contact is attached. How we are attached telephonically, that is how this attachment takes place. Understand one example. That we have a house, and we have the shade of the house, and we have the sunlight near the shade. We have the sunlight near the shade. Now in a person who is standing in the sunlight, he is like the person in the dunya. He is like the person in the dunya. And the person who goes away into the shade, he is like the person now in the qabr. Now he is in the alam barzakh. That he in the barzakh, he can get benefit from that sunlight, the heat of that sunlight. He can get benefit from it. And also, he has a peep into the akhirat. He has a peep. He's standing in the shade, and the house is there, there are windows. Now he's looking through the windows, he's having a peep into what is coming. What is coming in the house? What is coming in the house? Now understand the hadith. Now the hadith makes absolute sense. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that a person who is in the qabr, who is in the realm of the barzakh, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if he is a good person, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens window for him. and he's able to get the fragrance of Jannah, and he's able to see at times his abode, and he's able to see the comfort and the luxury that he's going towards. And if he is a bad fellow, if he is disobedient, then again it is open. But this time the heat of Jahannam comes to him. And also the azab of Jahannam, specimens of the azab of Jahannam, they are given to him and they are presented to him. So like that person, the example that I'm giving you, he is in the shade of this building. He is looking inside that home and looking inside via the windows. He is able to see inside that house. This house is the house of the Akhirah. That person in the qabr, that person in the qabr, respected elders, he is like that one. And he is able to take benefit from the sunlight. How? The people in the sunlight, those of us who are in the alam-e dunya, we are able to make isal-e sawab for the person in the grave. When we are in the sunlight, we are alive, body and soul. When we read something, and when we confer it to the person in the grave, he receives it. And when he receives it, he is able to know that this has come from so and so, that this present has come, this has come as a gift, and he's awaiting there. The person in the qabr is waiting, and he is anxious that someone must read something, someone must make isale sawab, so that he can benefit, and so that that can be an aid and support for him in that, in the alam of barzakh. Now if a person is not good, is not obedient, if a person is not making salat, not reading Quran, not striving in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not making the zikr of Allah, not reciting Durood Sharif, then how he is going to become conscious and how he is going to have anything to give when he has got nothing for himself? Similarly, like that lady, when she is now pregnant and the life is there, she's in between these two worlds. The child is in between the alam e arwa and the alam e dunya. And the child is drawing from the mother. The child is drawing from the mother, nourishment from the mother, and getting fed from the dunya and drawing from the mother. Similarly is that person in the grave. Now when a person dies, many people feel that while the person is lying down, then a lot of reports are reaching us that people go and greet the person when he is dead. Too late, the person is gone now, what are you going to greet him for? Then another thing, the customary now, that the person has died, now you go there and you say, please forgive me, make me maaf. When the person was alive, you were butchering him and slaughtering him and gossiping about him and backbiting him and doing the worst things about him. Now the person is dead, he can't retaliate a dog, please make me maaf. You have to have a healthy discussion with a dead person. Too late, respected elders. He can't respond. And people believe that the person can hear. And people believe that the person can respond. No such thing, respected elders. Once it's closed, it's closed. He cannot do anything. Yes, he can be informed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, listen, so and so is coming. But that is rare. Then he is taken away. When he's taken to the grave, lowered in the grave also, now also customary, has a lot of places we are finding, people start talking to the person in the grave. That, listen, when the malaika, munkir and nakir come, then they ask you, man rabbuka, then you say this. Now to revise the exam paper is too late, respected elders. You understand? Because you're supposed to have done it in the alam-e-dunya. This is the area of preparation for the test, preparation for the examination. Person is lowered in the grave. When the person is lowered in the grave, now in that grave, in the alam-e-barzakh, what happens there? That when the soul is taken off the body, it either must go to Illiyin, I have to define that. It must go to Osijin, I have to define that. That the Anbiya, their ruh, and the ruh of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the ruh of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, respected elders, can go nowhere. It went nowhere. It went back to Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because the ruh of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is so righteous, is so pious, is so blessed and so elevated and so lofty that there is no other place that can hold it besides his own body. That is why it comes back onto his own body, and that is why we believe in Hayat-e Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because when the soul is taken out, where it must go? It cannot go anywhere, it has to come back onto the body of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is why he is alive in his grave. That is the belief of the Ahle Sunnat wal Jama'ah. Then about the questioning in the grave, then also what happens, how the questioning takes place, what the person sees, and does he communicate with the relatives of whom he left? One last point before I conclude. Souls don't come back to the houses on Thursdays or Fridays to eat food or anything. You don't have to keep any separate chair or meal. They don't come back, respected elders. Wa akhiru da'wana, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.